Hi guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of That's So Sabotage. We are so excited to be back in the studio today. And on this episode, we are going to be chatting about our fatal flaws, which is a conversation we actually had the other day. I don't know where we read it, but we were just chatting about fatal flaws. Maybe it was from TikTok. And
I think it was a TikTok that we saw, yeah.
Yeah, we got into like a pretty deep conversation about it, and we thought it'd be a great episode for you guys to listen to today, and we're so excited to chat. So very excited to be back.
I cannot wait to dive deep into this. And for you guys who don't know what fatal flaws are, we're going to explain in just a little bit. But I think in true That's a Sabotage nature, Emma, do we want to start with our sabotage of the week? Do you want to take it away? Because I think yours takes the cake this week.
No, you guys, this is so sabotage. My sabotage of the week is actually pretty bad this week. So basically, long story short, to give you a little backstory and little context to my sabotage, my car gets used by multiple people. Like, some friends borrow it. Like, my sister borrows it. And, like, obviously, Nick and Viron, they're on my team. So, like, they sometimes borrow it. And it's just kind of, like, it's become a communal car at this point.
PFC is a family car.
It really is a family car at this point. So, PF Jeep is honestly, like, sometimes it's just missing from my street. And, like, my sister's fiance will be like, oh, I have it. I'm at the lab, like, working right now. And I'm like, okay, cool, for sure. Like, didn't even know you had it. So anyways, that's kind of the context of the story. Basically, today, this morning, I woke up. I went to go get something for my car. I was thinking about going to get something for my car. And I literally looked out my window to go look at my car. And I was like, wait, why isn't my car there? This is so weird. So I was like, does anyone have my car right now? Like, I asked around. No one had my car. So basically, my car was towed, and I didn't even know it because I just assumed that somebody had it. I guess I hadn't used my car in a few days, so I didn't really think to use it. And I didn't realize that my car has been now towed for 3 days now, and I had no idea until today because I went to go use it.
How did you find out it was towed and not stolen?
Well, first of all, that was where my thought went. I was like, oh my God, Grand Theft Auto, PF Jeep's gone. I guess I'll buy another car. Like, I guess I'm either carless or I'm going to have to start looking for new cars because it's Grand Theft Auto. But then Nick and Viron were like, you're crazy. It's probably got towed. So Viron looked it up and it definitely got towed and we have to go pick it up tomorrow. So yeah, I love that for me. So you're done. Yeah, it was so sabotage. Like, that's truly a sabotage of the week because I now am carless and I have to pay to go get it back. For no reason. So
how much
what
is
about
it
you guys? I think it's like $160. Like, it's actually expensive. It's so sabotage. I think that's what Viron said. It was gonna be like $160 or something. So okay. I don't know. Yeah, really sabotage.
Well, my sabotage of the week is I finally have a new employee on my team, which I'm so excited about. Dana. That's her soft launch.
Congratulations.
That's her soft launch.
Yay. You're breadcrumbing
her.
Yeah,
breadcrumbing her. That's what she – I posted a story the other day, and she's like, oh, there's my soft launch. And I was like, yeah. Aww. But no, yeah, it's just – it's a lot of work to have to, like, fully train someone from scratch and just get them comfortable within your business and just, like, teach them the ropes of everything. And she came from a very different industry to what she's doing now. So – there's just a lot to be learned and just that whole training process. It's like the whole onboarding situation of a job. It just always is a little bit tedious and takes a lot longer than normal tasks, but it's really great. And I'm excited to finally crack the whip and get some shit done, ladies. I can't wait.
Sophia's never worked harder in her life, you guys. The other day she was like, I am so tired. And I'm like, it's because you now have an employee watching over you and being there to actually, like, you guys have been working, yeah, holding you accountable. And you guys have been working so hard the past few days. And it's actually, I'm just so proud of you. I truly am.
My sabotage was also pretty sabotage because I've been finally getting into a workout kick and I've really been enjoying going to classes. I was telling you guys earlier, since we work for ourselves and work from home, there's really, like, nowhere to go out, especially in Toronto, which has been, like, shut for so long. We're slowly opening back up, but it's like I'm used to not doing anything. I'm just used to staying home. So I've really been enjoying going to workout classes, and I'm trying to go, like, early in the morning because if I don't work out in the morning, I just don't work out. Anyway, that was a backstory.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Well, here's the thing. If it's a workout class and I'm going with, like, a friend or, like, my sister, then yeah. But to just go when it's dark, just like, I'd rather not.
It kind of, yeah, it like lets you set the tone for your night and just kind of like takes you out of work mode and just like makes you relax for the night.
No, fair. I just find that if I work out in the morning, it kind of sets the tone for the rest of my day being productive and like healthier and whatnot. Well, anyway, I woke up early, got in the car, I got ready to an 8 a.m. class, which probably isn't even that early to some people. And anyway, I do the mission and I get there and I'm seeing like a bunch of people waiting outside and I'm like, okay, what's happening? And I get there and realize that it's shut and the employees are outside being like, we can't get in. We've been here since 6. Like, we actually emailed you guys the one morning. I don't check my emails. I didn't know the class was canceled. Oh, so I literally parked my car, went to the class. It was closed, went back in my car, paid $3 for parking and then went home. It sucked. It truly sucked because if you're already like dressed and you're already out there and you're committed to working out, to get there and it be shut, you're like, oh, well, shit. Like, I'm done.
Okay, but honestly, that's actually so sabotage, especially in Toronto because it's snowing and you had to get out of your car, freeze to death to get to the workout class and then for it to not be open. That is just tragic.
Better luck next time. Well, ladies, let's wrap it up here. Sisters, and let's get into the episode because I'm vibrating at the seat and I just want to chat with you about your fatal flaws.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's like explain what a fatal flaw is for the listeners who don't know what it is or have never heard that term before. Who in the circle, who out of the three of us can explain this the best? And I feel like I'm looking at Nitz.
Nitzan by Nitzan Raider.
Fatal flaws. Well, I don't know if this is like a TikTok like term and we're gonna butcher it, but from what we understand, a fatal flaw is something that you know is almost, I don't want to say like a negative trait about you, but something that's so ingrained in your core about yourself that you either want to change or like have recognized you want to improve or work on, and something that could set you back in certain situations. And you'll understand more when we get into them.
Another good way of looking at the term fatal flaw would also be like accepting your friends or family's fatal flaw, like something basically that you know will probably never change or not change much about them, but you've accepted it and you love them for who they are. And that's just their fatal flaw.
Or you can take your fatal flaw and work on it and turn your life around by fixing it.
Well, let's jump into our fatal flaws and it'll make more sense in context. Who wants to go first?
Emma.
Okay, so my fatal flaw, and I feel like I know exactly where it stems from, so I can explain why it's my fatal flaw, but my fatal flaw is probably peer pressure, and not in like a really bad way, but I feel like more so in a way that like, as an example, if Sophie is like lying in bed one night and I'm like, Sophie, it's Friday night, come out to dinner. She's like, oh, I don't want to. I'll be like, no, you're coming out. Like, come on, please come out. Like, come on. I'll try all in my power, everything in my power to get her out, even if she doesn't want to. And I feel like over time, I've accepted the fact that like, I should not need to force people to do those things. And obviously, it's okay if they don't want to. And I've been working on it. But I feel like it stems from when I was like a kid or when I was like younger, I would be such a scaredy cat. And people would like force me to do so many things I didn't want to do, like a roller coaster or, you know, like things that are like out of your comfort zone. And
trying,
I feel like,
new food.
Yeah, trying a new food, whatever the case may be. But for an example, like a roller coaster, I used to be terrified of roller coasters. And you look at me now, I love Disneyland. And the reason why I love Disneyland and love roller coasters now is because my friends forced me into it. And I was such a scaredy cat. And I was like, well, thank God my friends forced me into it because I would have never liked roller coasters if it wasn't for them. So now me thinking that was like amazing for me, I'm like, I have to do that for all of my friends.
I have a question.
Yeah, babe. What's your question?
Which friends were you going to Disneyland with before us? Which friends were taking you
roller
coaster?
I actually went with one friend prior to you guys way back when. Okay. So the tea. But other Disneyland experiences were like my family, my sisters, like, you know what I mean? Just in general, like things like that. I guess I was grateful for my family and friends to force me to do things out of my comfort zone, that I felt the need and that responsibility now for my friends to do that same thing to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think it's coming from a good place for you. It's like you just had a good experience of being able to conquer fear and do more, that you kind of want that for other people because you truly think they're going to enjoy themselves, but you just end up being really annoying as a result.
Yeah, exactly. I just end up being so annoying and being like, can you please do it? Come on, like blah, blah. And I make up all these like things to make them want to do it. But since then, and since Nitz and Sophie have called me out for my fatal flaw, I've now been self-aware and I've been working on it. So now Sophie hasn't attended an event in about 3 months because I don't force her out of her bed anymore. She's like, I don't want to go. I'm like, okay.
Here's the thing.
My fatal flaw.
here's the thing, and this is real talk. It's not that I don't want to go. It's just that, like, well, I could stumble into my fatal flaw if you'd like me to, but it's not that I don't want to go to these things, and it's not that, like, I don't want to do it. It's literally just that, like, I feel like I'm such a homebody that, like, when I'm away so much, I, like, fully need, like, a week and a half to 2 weeks to, like, fully reset and, like, get that full time in at home. And I, even in Saskatoon, I would do that. Like, after us girls would do, like, RLA trips and, like, be traveling so much, I would come home. I would not attend a single thing because I literally would just be like, no, I need to lay in bed right now. I need to just, like, be alone in the dark.
Yeah.
Watching. In your sanctuary.
Yeah, no, watching, and I agree. Like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the thing. I use that as an example as a joke because it's, like, relevant to us in the circle. But, like, obviously that's fine, and I totally agree. I'm the same way in some way, shape, or form. But I think that was just, like, as an example of, like, I feel like that is my fatal flaw, that I just want people to, like, experience the things that, like, I'm experiencing, which, again, not – everything for everyone. So I feel like that's something I work on.
I feel like with your fatal flaw, I feel like you've become a lot more, like, understanding from, like, both ends when, like, say, like, you're wanting someone to come to something, aka me, and, like, I say, like, oh yeah, like, maybe I'll let you know, and then, like, I don't end up coming. I feel like you never hold it against me, or you never, like, if obviously it's, like, something important, if it's, like, a birthday or, like, an event, or, like, you know what I mean, like your birthday, I'm saying, or
just
like,
mine.
Or like
just mine,
Pip, yours or Pippa's, or
you know, whoever's. only relevant one.
But you know what I mean? I feel like you're a lot more, like, understanding now about that, like, knowing like where you're coming from and where, like, the person on the other side is coming from too. You're like, you know what? It's fine. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have a great time with or without you.
No, totally. So yeah, that's, like, I think that would be my fatal flaw. But again, you can also turn it into, like, a positive thing too. Like, I do try my best to bring my friends out of their comfort zones, but I think it's just whether or not, like, it's that crossing that line. And I think that that's what I've become self-aware of, and I'm totally working on it.
Totally. I love that for you. And I feel like there's been major improvement. So snaps for Emma.
Yay. Goals. Like, we love the snaps. What about you guys?
Okay, well, I can segue into mine because I feel like it's somewhat, like, relevant. It, like, piggybacks off of yours. They're, like, they're sisters, not twins. But okay. I feel like my fatal flaw is people-pleasing and agreeing to things when I don't want to do it. And I know that, like, I know from – sometimes I – like, I'm a very indecisive person. So, like, if someone asks me to do something, like, go for dinner, in that moment I'm like, yeah, I want to go for dinner. But then it's, like, a few days before, or maybe, like, the day of, I'm like, wait, I don't want to go for dinner. Like, I do not – obviously, like, I usually don't cancel, like, last minute. But, like, I'm always saying yes to things even if I don't want to do it. And I feel like that's just a fatal flaw of mine. And even, like, if someone says something rude to me – this is just an example – I'm always thinking about, like, how can I be as polite as possible – and, like, I would way rather people please them than, like, snap back and, like, say something kind of, like, to defend myself almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always thinking about, like, be nice, be kind, like, be polite when it's, like, in those, like, uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And I actually had an experience the other day. It's kind of similar to something that we talked about recently, just us girls chatting. But I was out for dinner, and I was with a girl that I know, and we were out for dinner, and she knew our server, and our server was checking my ID, and she was like, oh my God, you're so old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, haha, like, you know what I mean? And this girl was probably, like, 20 years old. And I was like, oh, haha, like, yeah, I'm so old. Like, And then after the waitress left, like, me and my friend were sitting there, and she's like, I'm so sorry she said that. Like, that's so rude, and that was so uncalled for. Like, and I just, like, sat there and I kind of took it rather than, like, saying, like, hey, you probably shouldn't say that to someone. Like, that's not very nice to say. And I was just thinking of, like, okay, this is our server. I need to, like, obviously people please her because, you know what I mean? I don't want to make things uncomfortable or awkward.
You don't want the confrontation.
Confrontation for me is an absolute no, dog. Like, it's a no from me, dog is the right word. But you know what I mean? It's just, like, that's one thing I'm really trying to work on and standing up for myself. And I feel like that does come with age and time and growth. But I'll get there one day. I'm just not there yet. But I think, yeah, saying no to things is something I struggle with. So that's where I'm at, ladies. I haven't made much progress.
That's a really good, like, realization. I feel like you've done a lot of reflection.
Yeah.
To be able to be aware of this. So it's the first step to solving something or getting better at something is being aware that you have to work on it.
And that's the thing. I'm definitely aware. I've reflected, but it's like the action to do it. It's like, I don't even know what I would say in that situation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're old.
You're like, totally, babe. Totally, babe.
I remember something similar happened to me. I think that's what you were referring to. And I've never been this person. I was so like you, Sophie, back when I was a young Declan.
Yeah.
Declan. But I don't know what came over me. I had a similar situation where someone was like, oh, you're not that young. And I was like, well, that's not very nice to say. Or like, well, thanks for pointing it out. Like, I kind of like, I didn't snap back, but like, I kind of stood up for myself, or like, I didn't like take it as an insult. I kind of said something back, which I never would have done. And I remember in that moment reflecting, being like, wait, who is this person that just like spoke back?
I don't know who that was.
Yeah. But I felt proud.
When you told Sophie and I this story in Miami, we were shook to our core. Of course, we're like, oh my God, 3 years ago, Nitz, you would have never done that. But you've grown so much as a person, and you've, you know, gained such confidence with age. And you were like, yeah, no chance am I taking that. And I think that, yeah, so if that's something that will just come with time, and I think that you'll get
it. Honestly gets kind of like addicting and fun, because since that moment, totally. I've been more aware of it and noticing it. And I was like, wait, it's so fun standing up for yourself in the sense of like, I don't even know. It's
there's a difference. There's a big difference between confrontation.
Don't knock it till you try it.
No, but there's a big difference between confrontation and defending yourself, or like defending yourself, I guess, you know. Nitz, what about you?
I think my fatal flaw, I was trying to think about this today as we were getting ready for the episode. I think mine is, I want to say overcomplicating things, but not in like a relationship where, you know what, maybe. Like overcomplicating things where like I always need a plan, and I always need to think in advance, and I always need to have things lined up and ready to go, or I don't feel organized. And sometimes, as much as I recognize it's good to be organized and know what you're doing and have a plan, it holds you back because you're almost like overthinking things instead of just doing them, and like spending so much time planning rather than doing, if that makes sense. So,
and like living in the moment.
It's just something I thought of. I know there's many situations you guys are probably thinking of right now, because I think you've accepted this as my fatal flaw. But as part of growing up, I've kind of realized it's not, I don't know, I'm very type A. I think we all know this now, but it's also just like going with the flow a little bit more.
Emma and I actually had a conversation about you the other day.
Oh, and, okay.
And we were,
We were talking shit.
It was all good things, but we were like, Nitz is a new woman. She would never, 5 years ago, like, you are just like, especially in Miami, anything went, anything goes with Nitzan by Nitzan Raider. Like, you stayed up later. You stayed up later than all of us. Like, you let that rat out and let it shine.
I'm so happy to hear that, because I really don't know what you're talking about, but it's nice to hear that, I guess.
No, swear. Honestly,
we were just saying like how fun you were in Miami, and just like how back in the day, like it would just be like,
you weren't fun back in the day.
No. It would just be like a little bit more like schedule, and like, we should be shooting content right now. Like, look at the sunset. Like, we're here at the beach. Like, let's get content. Or like, you guys, like, I don't even know, like, we're late. Like, we have to be on time.
But I think we all changed with that. Like, I think our priorities have all shifted. I think this also, again, it comes with age and also with experience and just like the industry and whatnot. But we obviously used to take content so seriously and put that before like making memories and our experiences. Whereas now it's like, let's have fun first and have good vibes. And if we take some fun photos for work, amazing. Or like, we don't need to make things a big deal. And I think it's so healthy. Like, we generally had such a good time in Miami. Even when we were in LA, it was just good vibes all around, living our life first and then content.
The photos came second.
Whereas content came first in the past.
And then fun came second.
Yeah. Or there was no fun. There was no time for fun.
Always.
That's so true.
Yeah, because we had schedules to attend to, which were made by us. And we were like, no, this first, this first. So
Excel spreadsheets by Nitz. But I think, yeah, that's like, so great, and I love that for you. And honestly, like, Miami goes down in history, ladies. What's your favorite memory from Miami? Let's just chat about that for a second as we're on the topic.
Sexy fish.
Sexy fish. I think sexy fish was just like number one for everybody, to be honest. Like, I don't think any night could have topped sexy fish. It was so iconic.
Why don't you describe a little bit what sexy fish is for the listeners? Since I'm sure none of them know what it, or I'm sure some of them do, but I had no idea what sexy fish was before I entered.
None of us really had an idea. You basically walk into like this underwater world. So it's basically a restaurant, but it's a concept restaurant. And feel free to jump in if I'm explaining this wrong. But it's decked out with like extravagant fish everywhere in the ceiling. It's like purple and red is the vibe. Music is blasting. Servers are all wearing like uniform that has like seashells on them and just like,
yeah,
it kind of looks like Versace.
Totally. It was serving Versace all weekend long.
And everyone was just like good looking, good vibes, having a great time. It was dim and great food, like seafood-esque food in like extravagant dishes. And at one point, the live DJ just like kind of takes over the night and it turns into not a club, but you just like basically club around.
It was basically a club. It was basically a club. And we got like a 16-course meal. It wasn't just like a 2-3-course meal. Like, things kept coming to our tables. I don't even know if we ordered it. It was literally like things kept coming to our table. And it was amazing each time. It was like a literal symphony of flavor.
Well, you know why.
The lobster.
Yeah. The claw. The lobster was fabulous. It was fab. It was so fab. It was just like such an iconic night. And the bathrooms were so epic. You guys, if you go to Sexy Fish, you can't miss out on the bathrooms. That was a whole experience in itself.
But tell us what happened. What happened? Tell us what happened because of what the happened in the bathroom.
Oh, Instagram. You guys. Yeah. Okay. It was so sabotage. This could have been my sabotage of the week that week. Actually, really was. So currently right now I'm shadow banned on Instagram. I don't know if you guys, if you're listening, you know this. Actually, a lot of you guys have messaged me saying that you've noticed I'm shadow banned. And that is because in the Sexy Fish bathrooms, there's like a woman sculpture of a mermaid. And she's not wearing a shirt. It's like a topless mermaid. And it's so beautiful. So I took a photo of it and I posted it on my stories thinking it was like art, which it is. Sorry, it is. And I got literally shadow banned and it got taken down by Instagram. And I got a strike for posting a nude mermaid statue on my stories. So I was really just trying to let my followers experience the experience that I was. And I got shit on for it by Instagram. So that's lovely. I don't know if I'll ever be back on Instagram.
Honestly, no, it was a great night. And I was telling Austin about it. And like, do you remember like the thumping in your chest from how loud the music was in the bass? Like, I felt like I was having a heart attack maybe like every like 10 minutes. It was insane. So much fun. But yeah, it was a great trip, you guys. If any of you guys want to like tune in on the BTS, Emma has a vlog on it and you can all go to each one of our Instagram pages and like every single one of the photos that we've posted from Miami because we're all shadow banned.
But what did we say? Yeah. Experience first, content
and
second.
Because of that, we are now all shadow banned. No, and you know what the best part was is that night. This is another tangent. I know we're still going on a tangent, you guys, but it's kind of iconic and we can just roll with it. And the sisters listening definitely followed along on the Miami trip, so I'm sure you're enjoying the BTS. But it was really funny because that night, the iconic group shot, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's like we're all wearing bright blue and it's a really cute shot from the last night. Anyways, we were so sad the next morning and I go to Sophie and I'm like, I'm so sad because we didn't get a group shot. Like, I'm really upset. Like, we looked so cute last night. And Sophie's like, yeah, like, oh, that's so annoying. Like, fuck, we didn't get a group shot. Like, we should have prioritized work, but we're having so much fun, whatever. An hour later, Sophie comes running in. She's like, Emma, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. I'm like, what? She's like, Nits made us take group shots last night and we don't remember because we were just too drunk. And we legitimately did not remember taking those group shots, but Nits being the type A queen she is, which we love it for her for that because she made us take a group shot and it ended up being one of the best photos of the weekend. But meanwhile, we had no idea. Sophie didn't remember taking the photo. So we had no idea. No clue.
But I just wanted to pivot the conversation from Fatal Flaws to Miami to now doing a little mental health check because that's what we were supposed to talk about next after the Fatal Flaws.
Thank you for reeling us in,
babe. Yeah, you're welcome. That's just my job. But no, yeah, I wanted to do a mental health check because I feel like we can all talk about like how we're doing mentally. I feel like it being March, I don't know where the year's already gone. Like, we're already in month 3.
I know, right?
No.
It's literally going to be summer tomorrow. I'm kind of
freaking out.
Coachella is tomorrow.
And then New Year's.
No. I was literally going through my schedule with Nick today, or it was yesterday. We were going through my calendar, and we ended up like going through each month of like what the plan is, whatever. And literally within like a span of 30 seconds, we were already back at September Fashion Week. We were like, wait. So we have to just redo it all again.
Yeah.
All again. It's all happening all again.
Literally, I think we're all booked. All three of us are like fully blacked out until
legit.
I want to say October.
Like actually, though,
is when we have like a little bit of wiggle room, yeah. And like legit. TBD what happens in October.
No, it's so crazy.
Which is so exciting. But I guess with that, the reason we wanted to talk or do a little mental health check is because obviously the last 2 years have been so different. And with things opening up and the world going back to normal, it could sometimes feel overwhelming to kind of jump back into how things were. Like we used to travel so much, and we have a lot of travel plans and really exciting things in the works, but it's easy to get overwhelmed, right? So how are you guys doing? How are you feeling?
Fine. I like talked about this actually on Instagram stories the other day, and I can just kind of like recap what I said, but I feel like when January 1st hits, there's so much pressure to like be the best version of yourself for this new year. And you like write down all your goals, you do all your mood planning, and you like figure out like what it is that you want to do in that new year. And I feel like the standards are almost so high come January 1st that it's almost like too overwhelming to execute it, because it's like, okay, I just went from Christmas break, from like hanging out at my parents, like eating whatever I wanted and seeing family and friends and drinking and like, you know, just like fully like vacay mode, to like snapping back into this, like, I don't even know what the word is, like
high intensity.
Yeah, like high intensity, like schedule. And like, I'm going to work out, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to not procrastinate anymore, I'm going to get all my shit done, I'm going to like, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this in 2022 and I'm going to do that. And it's like, okay, but how? It's like you almost have to like take a step back to like realize what it is that you want to accomplish for yourself, and like, mm-hmm. and like look at it at a realistic standpoint. Because I feel like for January and February, they're always very like unmotivating months for me, especially January, because I take a step back and I look at what I did in that previous year. And I obviously like think about my rebrand, and I think about what I want to do content wise. What is my vibe? What do I want to do for YouTube and TikTok and all these things? And you always like want to kind of like reposition what you were doing in that previous year and like elevate it. And there's a lot of pressure to do so.
Yeah.
So that's when like inspiration and like your motivation can kind of like tank.
And I think that also it's extra pressure this year, because since last year, the three of us had such amazing years due to probably COVID, everybody on social media and all these things like combined. I think we had such fabulous years last year that we're like, okay, how do we top it this year? And I think the three of us have put such immense pressure on our shoulders of like, how can we top it and make it even more or twice as much and all these things. So I think you're right. Like we have to kind of take a step back and look at it at a realistic standpoint and like literally look at our calendar month by month and be like, what can I accomplish in each of these months without overwhelming ourselves and, you know, running ourselves to the ground.
Yeah, I agree. I actually have this every year, like every year in December or early January, I try to just like journal, like kind of write one entry to myself. I really don't journal often, but I feel like it's really helped me to do it every like end of year or start of a new year. And a common theme that I'm realizing is every year I'm like, oh crap, I had such a good year, I'm so grateful, like I'm worried the next year won't be as good. It's like a constant, almost like anxiety, like that you're not doing enough and how are you going to beat it, and you're already behind where you were last year, and it's really exhausting. So it's interesting that you guys feel the same way.
It's a lot of like overwhelming pressure, and I feel like, I don't know, it's just like, am I doing enough? Will I be able to get to that point that I have written down on this unrealistic list of hundreds of things that I want to do? Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's kind of stressful. So that's how I'm doing mentally, is like, I was having a mental breakdown a little while ago, but I feel like I've come out of it, and I've just realized that I need to like step back, take a realistic approach to making the right strides to getting these goals done. And now that I have Dana, we're gonna conquer together.
But you know why, or where I think this anxiety comes from, or like the stress, it's, we always say don't compare yourself to anyone, right? And in a sense,
like, don't compare yourself to anyone but yourself is something I always tell myself. But it, like, you shouldn't even compare yourself to yourself at that point, because I think you just need to focus on being happy and balanced, and not, like, when you compare yourself to last year, like, what you've done and you want to be better, like, that's essentially comparison all over again, instead of just living in the moment and doing your best.
Yeah. I think another thing that's different this year is that all three of us have either already come out with brands, like Knits, you launched Mind Your Business. Sophie and I are working on huge projects that we're going to be launching in the upcoming months or year, that we've been working on for like over a year. And I feel like it's just the pressure of that too. We've now not been juggling just our personal brand, but we're now, you know, juggling another brand that we've been, you know, a passion project for a really long time, and no one really knows about it because it's a behind the scenes kind of situation. So it's kind of the juggle of that, you know, behind the scenes pressure that no one sees, while also putting on this face for our personal brands and allowing us to still, you know, thrive in that personal brand with also doing the other stuff.
And I feel like also with that being said, it's like we are all working on things behind the scenes. So like when we're not present on social media as much as we once were, it almost feels like you're not doing enough.
You're not doing enough.
Like, and your followers may think that too, like, where is she? Why doesn't she post as much as she used to? Or where's the content? Where's the stories? And it's like, some days you are just like, you don't have time to do that because you're working elsewhere. And like, you're actually like in sweatsuits at your computer all day, like actually grinding behind the scenes. And no one gets to see that, or no one gets to know that, because until like, whatever it is that we're working on is launched, like, I'm not talking about it. Like, I'm not sharing anything until I have everything fully ready for launch.
It's so funny you're saying that, because yesterday I was kind of inspired to create a TikTok about that. I don't know if you saw the one I posted today. It's literally like a realistic day in my life as a content creator.
And
the
whole day
I'm in, well, head over to my TikTok, but literally the whole day I'm in the same set, active sweat set, literally just sitting at the laptop. And I was kind of hesitant to post this because I was like, even my title was a typical day in my life as a content creator. I didn't create a piece of content that day except that one TikTok. I was literally working on my laptop and I was scared to post this, thinking like, wait, is this even like my job? Am I doing a good job at the job I say I have? You know what I mean? And you guys know, I think I told you guys, like, personally, if I'm being fully honest, I haven't been in the best mental state because of that exact reason, like just not being able to balance both running a business, which you guys are working on and know the exact feeling I'm going through, and also creating content and being a content creator and being on stories and creating TikToks and shooting outfits. Like, you can't do both. And that lack of balance is like really wears me down.
It's two full-time jobs on top of each other, and no one gets that. You know what I mean? Like, we truly are working two full-time jobs, and they're so different, but simultaneously.
And I also think that like influencers are very known for saying like, working on something, can't wait to share it soon, or like, something's coming, or like doing that little like PR stunt, that PR stunt message. And it's like, I hate saying sometimes that like, I'm working on something, like, can't wait to share it soon, because it's like, I don't know when that soon date is going to be. So like, I have not said anything about what I'm doing other than maybe like, there's been maybe four stories that I've posted in total on Instagram that has said like, hinted that I'm working on something, because I just don't want to like say anything until it's ready.
There's something to be said about that. I don't know which podcast I heard this on. It might have been on Lauren's, like, the Skinny Confidentials podcast, but she, I think it was her, said like, don't say what you're gonna do, just do it. Like, I think people take you more seriously when you just do things and you just take action, as opposed to just talking about what you're going to do. Like, don't talk about what you're going to do, just do
it. That's so true.
So I think you're doing that, and that's just like the best way to go about things. But when your job is to constantly keep your audience updated, you're like,
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's kind of a toss up, because I do agree with that statement on one hand, but on the other hand, our other full-time job is to, you know, keep our followers intrigued and kind of want to take them along the ride. So it's part of me is like, with my certain project, I have talked about it because I want to be able to be like, remember a year and a half ago when I said I was working on this, like, I've been working on it since then. And since I talked about it a year and a half ago, every time I do a Q&A, people are like, oh my God, we're so excited for this project. It's such a long time coming. So it's kind of like, I agree, but I also like, it's, again, it's so hard because you have to juggle, because it's like, that's our job, is to keep our followers informed, because they're the ones that are going to be the ones that we're making these products for, or we're making these like brands for, you know?
Well, it's also great to crowdsource, right? When you're building a brand or a concept, to hear what people want and have them be a part of the process is just a proven method to even building a successful business. But it's like, where do you draw the line mm-hmm. of sharing too much or sharing too little? Or anyway, I personally don't know how to balance this. So if anyone listening, if you are a content creator and have a brand or anyone who comes across this, leave us the tips. DM us on Instagram at That's What Sabotage, because honestly,
this is honestly like a like, really stupid response. And it has like kind of it like reminds me of something that I think about all the time. But you know how you said like crowdsource, like get their opinions. This is how I feel about outfits. And I feel like people always want me to do like styling videos and like share my Coachella looks or share like what I'm packing for like this trip or that trip or whatever. And I personally have such a hard time doing that because I do not want anyone to know what I'm wearing until they see it posted on Instagram. And to like do even to do like styling videos of outfits that like I love and like I'm passionate about, I feel like the outfit loses its magic if it's posted on social media before I get to actually post that photo itself of me wearing it.
Or before you get to actually – or before you actually get to wear it. Because then by the time you actually wear it, you're like, well, I've already done a 30-minute video about this outfit. It's not – there's no magic to it
anymore.
And
it's like I would like to do that afterwards, but it doesn't really work like that because it's like not – I don't even know how to explain it. But like it just – that's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. And I just wanted to say that.
Thanks for sharing.
So overall, you guys, overall, ladies, our mental health is pretty good. We're definitely under some pressure. It's kind of like that time of year. We're kicking off. Coachella's almost happening. We're kicking off summer soon. Spring has sprung in Vancouver. I don't know about Toronto. Probably not. Probably not. But yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming and it's just really exciting. And that's why I think that we feel this little bit of pressure. But overall, I feel like the three of us have been very happy at where we are and happy at where we're going.
And a lot of fun things for TSS. I know we just like basically ripped on the fact that people tease like, oh, just working on something. But like you guys were actually working on something and it's so exciting. And you'll find out eventually.
Yeah, you're like, well, you'll find out sometime in 2022. Can't tell you when, but.
On that note, ladies.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping it up. We are wrapping up the episode. Sophie has an appointment in 30 minutes and she cannot be late. So we are going to wrap up the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I had fun with this episode. I thought it was a great conversation and I hope you guys thought so too.
Same. I enjoyed it. If you guys have any ideas or topics you want us to talk about, DM us on Instagram at That's So Sabotage because we just want to chat with you guys and this is our way to do that. And also, I guess we're not doing a Standing Queen of the Week or should we just, you know what?
I think I know who it is. I know who it is. Who? It's so Dana. the newest TSS employee. Because here's the thing, you guys, one of our employees are just all of our employees and it's all a big team here at ERL Corp, at Sophie Sukin, at Neat Sun Raider Creative. It is all one big team. So Dana, welcome to the team. We're really happy to have you. And you are the stunning queen of the week.
Welcome to the fam.
Okay, we love you guys. We'll see you next Monday and we loved chatting with you.
Bye.
Have a great week.